chapter 4 explained very strongly with many verses quoted in reference that bhakti, the desire for bhakti, and the desire for mukti are both obstacles for pure devotional service. And if one has these desires, he cannot enter into pure devotional service. But yet, that doesn't mean that one cannot begin the path. If one has desires for karma, or desires, material desires, he can begin the path. But if one has desires for mukti, or to merge with Krishna, then he cannot even begin the path. This is a very important point. Because if one is contaminated with the doctrine of Mayavad, then his spiritual life becomes very confusing, because he can never figure out, when he is worshipping Krishna, he can never figure out if Brahman is the source of Krishna or Krishna is the source of Brahman. And if Brahman is the source of Krishna, what is the meaning of his worship? What is the meaning of his bhakti to Krishna? It means that it is completely self-serving. There is no love, there is no devotion, because his motive is to become one with Krishna. So he's worshipping, but it's not, it cannot be out of love. He's worshipping to become the object of his worship. So just imagine, if someone is working in a job, or he's serving his temple president, or he's serving his spiritual master, but he's doing it to become the spiritual master, or to become the boss in the job. If he's working in his job and he's doing it, but he's trying actually, it looks like he's doing, he's acting in a very devoted way, but he's actually trying to become the boss, how do you think the boss feels about that? That this fellow is trying to displace me from my position. So what will the boss do if he sees that there's subtle politics? He will get rid of him. But Krishna is so kind that he says, Yeyetamam prapadyante tamstitaiva bhajamyaham. What do you want? Do you want to become one with me? Alright, you can become one with me. I will satisfy your desire. But that type of service that that servitor is doing is not bhakti, because there is motive. It is not, there is no question of him entering into the mood of bhakti, because there cannot, there is no, not the seed of love is not there. So even though one may have the desire to enjoy matter, he can still begin bhakti. But if one has the desire to become one with Krishna, he cannot begin. So therefore in the last verse, the last chapter, so many verses were quoted to bring out this point. So therefore Prabhupada opens this chapter by saying, chapter 5, all the previous instructions imparted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his broad statements can be summarized thus, his shastric statements can be summarized as such, as long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. But that desire for mukti is even worse. It is the worst possible thing. Because you think you're doing bhakti, but actually there is no bhakti. And someone tells you, you should worship Krishna. What do you say? Yes, 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 yes. And if someone tells you, you should go to Mangalarti and chant Hare Krishna. Yes, 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 yes. No one can tell you anything because you're doing it. But that sinful seed of envy of Krishna is in the heart and it will ruin everything. Is this point clear? Because you think you're doing it, but you're doing it. It's the shadow. It's the perverted reflection of bhakti. Just like putana. Ravindra Sarup Prabhu coined the phrase Putana Bhakti, because Putana came to Krishna as if a mother, as if she was a mother, but her real motive was to kill Krishna. So it is just like the Mayavadis.
They want to kill Krishna's form
and become one with him. Putana bhakti. So bhakti is open for everyone, except if you have the desire for mukti, to become one with the Lord within your heart. You want to become one with Krishna? No, good. Very good. What picture were you looking at before? I want to see that picture. Double darshan. Okay. Now, in this chapter, when Prabhupada has named this chapter the Purity Devotional Service, the understanding is devotional service is so pure, it is so powerful, it is Krishna's internal energy. And it is independent. It is svatantra. It is independent. It is not dependent on anything else. And Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada are going to describe this point in this chapter. Devotional service is so pure, it is not dependent on anything. So therefore, Prabhupada begins in the fourth line of this chapter, the first paragraph. Next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations, that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society, or circumstance. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Actually, devotional service does have a cause. Bhakti has a cause. And the cause of bhakti is bhakti. It has no external cause. And the one who causes bhakti, who carries the bhakti that goes into the heart of the devotees, is the Madhyam devotee. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this in Madhura Chakadamani. The Madhyam Bhakta, by his bhakti, he causes bhakti to enter the heart of the Bhadajiv. He places faith in the heart of the Bhadajiv. But again, the cause of bhakti is his bhakti. So that means the cause of bhakti is bhakti. It is independent. There is nothing other than bhakti that can cause the growing of bhakti. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain, and it cannot be checked by any material circumstance. It is open for all without any distinction, and it is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. So Rupa Goswami, in this chapter, when he's describing that devotional service is independent, that is what Prabhupada means when he says it is the purity of devotional service. It is so pure, it is not dependent on anything, it is dependent only on itself. So there are three things that Rupa Goswami is going to describe that bhakti is independent of. And that is the summary of this chapter. That is what's going to happen in this chapter. And we'll go through them one by one. The first thing is bhakti is independent of one's birth. It does not depend on where one was born. The second point, bhakti is independent of one's internal purity. One does not have to be pure to begin bhakti, although one does have to be free from the desire for mukti or liberation. One does not have to have any other purity to begin, because bhakti is so powerful, it is like the sun. Why is it like the sun? Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar. Why is bhakti like the sun?
Dissipates the darkness.
Yes, it dissipates darkness. Imagine if someone was thinking that the darkness had to be removed before the light can enter the room. At night, you're thinking that before the light can enter, the darkness has to be removed. So, and the proof of this is every morning when the sun rises, that the darkness will go away first, and then gradually, as the darkness goes away, the sunlight enters the room. So this is not our philosophy. You cannot take a broom and remove the darkness from the room any more than really we can remove all the darkness from our heart, and then bhakti will come. No, it is bhakti that will clean the heart. And then more bhakti will come when it is clean. So bhakti is not dependent on internal purity. That's the second one. And the third point, it is not dependent upon vanashrama and vanashrama duties. This is the sum and substance of this chapter. The bhakti is not dependent on three things. It is independent. It is dependent only on itself. So the first point that Rupa Goswami is going to bring out, and Prabhupada really brings this one out, is that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has shown and fought very hard to show that bhakti is independent of birth, and anyone can take up bhakti and anyone can preach bhakti. One does not even have to be a brahmana or anything. It is independent of birth. It is so pure because it is the constitutional position of the living entity. Everyone has the right to perform bhakti. So Prabhupada explains, and the purport, in the Middle Ages, in the 1500s, after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great associate, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, a class of priestly persons claimed to be the descendants of Nityananda, calling themselves the Goswami caste. They are called Nityananda Vanks, or caste Goswamis. Not only the follower, the followers of, not the descendants, but the followers of Nityananda Prabhu, but all the, almost all the temples in Vrindavan, and many in Navadvip, there is the families, the Goswami families. They are called caste Goswamis or Jati Gosai. And they, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fought with them, and they fought back like anything. Because he was preaching, they were acting improperly and yet claiming to be all the respect of Goswamis just by birth. Well, Goswami is not a name, it's a title for someone who is exalted, who can control the go, the master of the senses. Not just by birth, being born in a Goswami family and then doing all kinds of nonsense and claiming to be pure just because of the birth and worthy of worship, just because of the birth and worthy of being a spiritual master, just because of the birth. Now, by the fighting of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, these principles are accepted, but during the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they were not accepted. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went on Navadvip Parikrama with all the devotees of all different castes, regardless of their caste, what happened is they tried to kill him. There was a plot to kill him. And they tried to bribe. They gave one, the chief of police, the SP, in Navadvip, they gave him 2 lakhs or 25,000 rupees, or I don't remember how much it was, but it was a lot of rupees, especially in those days. And they said, "We're going to do something to Siddhanta Saraswati, and you just turn the other way." This is police system in India. So that police, that SP, the superintendent of police, immediately went to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and explained, "This is the situation." And they have, and of course we take bribes, but we can't do it for a sadhu. Nowadays, it doesn't make any difference. But there was actually a plot to kill him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally told Prabhupada this. And they stoned all the followers on a Navadvip Parikrama. They stoned in one area just around Devananda Gaudiya Math. At that area, in that, what's the name of that dvip again? Koladvip. They stoned the whole Parikrama party trying to kill Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. and Prabhupada's godbrother, Keshava Maharaj, put on the clothes of Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur, the sannyasi vesh. They exchanged clothes. Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur allowed him to do that service, and he escaped at that time. And then at that time also, Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur said, "I want a mutt in this place," in Kolhapur. And no one volunteered. And then Keshav Maharaj said, "I'll do it." And therefore he got that Devananda Gaudiya Math was started. So it was a big, big, big fight to show that anyone can take up Krishna consciousness and anyone say Krishna Tattva Veta, say Guru Hoy. Kiba Vipra Kiba Nasi Sudra Kenanoi. Hey, say Guru Tattva Veta, Krishna Tattva Veta, say Guru Hoy. That anyone can take up Krishna consciousness regardless of his birth, and anyone could be a guru. Kibra Vipra, Kibra Nyasi. If you are a Brahmin or a sannyasi, Sudra Kenanoi. That even if you're a Sudra, say Krishna Tattva Veta. Anyone who Veta knows Krishna Tattva, the truth about Krishna, say he Guru Hoy. He is Guru. So even though Mahaprabhu had said this, there was a big clique and conspiracy to overthrow this principle by the Goswami caste like this. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew that for Krishna consciousness to spread all over the world, this philosophical point had to be established. So he fought like anything. And the second thing is why they attacked him was that he used to criticize this using the deity or the Shalagram Shila, as he coined the phrase, I don't know the Bengali, as a nutcracker. Using the Shalagram Shila as a nutcracker. Meaning that using it, setting up the temple just to gain some donations, showing the deity to gain donations so you could eat. Using the deity as a nutcracker. So he preached so powerfully against this that the caste Goswamis who were using the deity as a nutcracker, they didn't like it. So they tried to kill him. So how bold did Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada said that his preaching technique was like a chopping technique, his own. Because he would not compromise. Just very heavy. This is rascal, he is rascal, he is rascal, this one is nonsense, rascal, like this. And it's so heavy. I was recently reading some of Prabhupada's lectures in Mayapur in 1976, and it was so heavy. It's so heavy. And Prabhupada said, "I have learned this chopping technique from my Guru Maharaj." And some of his disciples did not like it, and they criticized him, and they fell down. So this was the system Prabhupada adopted. And those who criticize will fall down. So Prabhupada says, it is the basis of his position. And just like Prabhupada has given, he had given the sacred thread to everyone who is qualified, regardless of their position. Why? A Vaishnava is above the position of Brahmana. Even though we're aspiring, the position is above. So why did he give the lower sacred thread? To prove this point. That someone who is a devotee, a serious devotee, is automatically a Vaishnava. Is automatically a Brahmana. So much fighting went on. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did a parikrama of Vrindavan, with so many people, I forget the year, I think maybe 1931 or 29 or something like that. And Prabhupada actually met the Parikrama party in Koshi. But when he came to Vrindavan, all the Goswami temples closed in protest. They would not let his followers in. Except one temple remained open. That is the Radharaman temple. Because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before he took the sannyasa order, he was called Bimala Prasad, or actually
this was his given name by his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
The great, now there is Padmanabh Goswami Prabhu, who is the head of the, he's one of the Radharaman family members there. His father was Vishwambar Goswami. And his father, and he passed away maybe 3 years ago, and his father, so Padmanabha Goswami's grandfather, went preaching with Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Bengal, and also with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They preached together. So therefore, when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came, he kept the temple open. But it was the only one, such a heavy thing. So much criticism. So this right that we take for granted came not easily by the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's great struggle. Srila Rupa Goswami, page 48, specifically mentions herein that every man has the birthright to accept devotional service and to become Krishna conscious. There is more evidence in the Skanda Purana, in the Kashikanda portion, where it is said, in the country known as Mayura Dhaja, the lower caste people who are considered less than Sudras, Chandalas in other words, they are also initiated into the Vaishnava cult of devotional service. And when they are properly dressed with tilak on their bodies and beads in their hands and on their necks, they appear to be coming from Vaikuntha. In fact, they look so beautiful that immediately they surpass the ordinary Brahmins. So these Chandalas had attained belief, strong conviction in the process of devotional service, and therefore they were exalted personalities. Next paragraph. Srila Rupa Goswami, the paragraph after the next paragraph, warns, however, that if a person is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, he should not think that simply by the acceptance of such initiation his business is then finished. One still has to follow the rules and regulations very carefully. If after accepting the spiritual master and being initiated, one does not follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, then he is again fallen. One must be very vigilant to remember that he is the part and parcel of the transcendental body of Krishna, and that it is his duty as the part and parcel to give service to the whole, or Krishna. If we do not render service to Krishna, then again we fall down. In other words, simply by becoming initiated, it does not elevate one to the position of a high-class brahmana. One also has to discharge the duties and follow the regulative principles very strictly. That is to stop us from thinking just superficially taking initiation makes one exalted. And it causes, and it has happened many times, that Prabhupada preached so strongly, yes, that Westerners can become Brahmins. Yes, Westerners can become sannyasis by the potency of Mahaprabhu's mercy. And then when those same sannyasis and brahmanas fell down and acted inappropriately, that was such an embarrassment. Because then everyone said, just see, you say that Westerners can be, and just see what has happened. See, we told you. But Prabhupada held to the principle strongly. So we should, all of us, make sure that we do not leave the principles of devotional service and become an embarrassment for Srila Prabhupada, now a spiritual master. Especially after initiation, and especially after what we call Brahman initiation or Diksha. So there, that point is established. Devotional service is not dependent on birth. Next point is devotional service is not dependent on internal purity. Page 49, the beginning of the first paragraph. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one is regularly discharging devotional service, there is no question of a fall down. Even if circumstantially there is some fall down, the Vaishnava have nothing to do with prayaschitta, the ritualistic ceremony for purification. If someone falls down from the principles of devotional service, he need not take to the prayaschitta performance for reformation. He simply has to execute the rules and regulations for discharging devotional service, and this is sufficient for his reinstatement. This is the mystery of the Vaishnava cult, devotional cult. That in the Vedas, in the Manu Samhita, the Puranas, there is, if you commit some sin, and they're so particular, if you do anything practically, now there's no question of anyone being able to follow properly. But if you pass gas at the wrong time, you have to go somewhere and fast for a week and chant so many mantras and things like that. It's so particular, every little thing. So even for a big fall down, that is called prayaschitta. When you perform a pious activity to atone for an improper, sinful activity. So in devotional service, if one performs an activity that is improper, the only thing that he can do and should do is perform devotion, continue performing devotional service, but he should not sin again, should not do the thing again. Prabhupada would say that he would criticize the Christians for sinning and then confessing, and then sinning again. Confessing on Sunday. The Catholics especially have a system of confessionals where you go and speak to the priest and say, I have done this wrong and I have done this wrong. And he says, and he gives you some atonement for that, to free you from the sin. But then to go back and sin the same thing the next week and the following week, and the following week, this is the greatest hypocrisy. Namno valadyasihi papa buddhi navidite tasya yumari shuddhi. One who commits sins on the strength of chanting, thinking I will sin and then chant to get purified, he is the greatest of hypocrites and this is the greatest of offenses. Namno valadyasihi papa buddhi navidite tasya yumari shuddhi means that even if one goes to the court of Yamaraj and suffers so much, pain for the sin he has committed, he will still not get purified. Because the mentality of committing sins against the holy name on the strength of chanting the holy name is namaparad. And it will stay in the heart and it will prevent one from attaining pure devotional service. So avoid this. But yet, if one sincerely, apichet sudarat charo, bhajate mam ananya bhak, if one performs ananya bhakti, undeviated devotional service, sadur eva se mantavya, but that person, sadur eva, he is certainly a sadhu, because he is fixed in devotion. And if one criticizes him for his accidental fall down, that is aparad. That is sadhananda. So if one commits some sin, one should simply engage in devotional service. And then whatever happens to him, he accepts that as Krishna's mercy. That is the process. If the devotee thinks, oh, Krishna says, sadhur eva, I am a devotee, certainly. No one can criticize me. That is crazy. Rather, he should feel I am a black spot on the society of devotees for what I have done. I may have to suffer for thousands of years, billions of years in hell for what I have done, but I will never give up devotional service. That lamentation and that mood and him engaging in devotional service will free him from what he has done. So there is no other way to actually get free for a devotee. There is no other need. So that explains about the purity of devotional service and how it doesn't depend on internal purity. And the third point and the remaining verses all explain that there is no need to perform any activities of vanashrama. One just simply engages in Krishna consciousness and there is no loss. There is no loss. It is not dependent on vanashrama. When Ramananda Roy said to Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu asked him what is the highest thing, and he said vanashrama, samsidhir haritoshanam. It pleases. Svanustitasya tamasya samsidhim haritoshanam. The vanashrama, doing vanashrama for the pleasure of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said, iya bhaya, this is external. Go further. So it is not necessary. So the rest of the verses, when Krishna says, savidamam prityaja, give up all forms of prescribed duties, dharma, he's talking specifically about vanashrama duties. And surrender to me. Aham tam sarva papibhyo, I will protect you. Do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. Just surrender. So these verses are very important, but because you probably have so many questions to ask, we will not go over them. The devotee needs no performance of vanashrama duties. Pure devotional service is independent and free from signs of jnana and karma, as we have already heard in Anyabhilasita Sunyam. And finally, nothing is lost if one neglects the jnana and karma duties which come from vanashrama. Okay, thank you. Now, the devotees who came late, Ramachandra, what's your name again, Prabhu?
Rajesh.
Rajesh? Are you going to be able to take the test or not? Are you going to be ready? I know it's a lot of work. What do you think? Ramachandra? It's Monday. Is it too much? Tuesday. Try means you will take it. Okay, so if you need more time, and there's other things that are going on, there's the parikrama and other things, you need not do that if you need the more time. If you want to just concentrate. Huh? You should let me know very early on Tuesday. Because we'll have to think of, and then you can, you know, then you can tell me when you'll be ready. Because it's a lot. Have you heard any of the tapes yet? To make up? No. It's 2 weeks worth. Maybe impossible. If you could hear the tapes, it would probably make it easy, but it's a lot. So if you don't feel it's possible, we can postpone it till another day. But the only problem will be with the test itself, the physical test. Okay, any questions on anything? Now, there was one question. Someone asked me whether we would be responsible for any other verses other than Anyabhilasita Sunyam. And the answer is yes. One other verse. The final verse, which isn't given in the Sanskrit, is not given, but the one from Narada Pancharatra. Sava upari vinir muktam tat paradvena niyamalam. So that is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1112, Nectar of Devotion, page Roman numeral 24 to 25, and it is in Madhya Lila 19, page 170. Excuse me, verse 170, page 352. That's Madhya Lila 19, verse 170, page 352. 1112 of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay, any questions? James.
You were saying if one is looking with my body, then he can't begin to rest. You find that a lot of devotees, I mean, I've seen myself, friends of mine coming from my body institution, but just like contaminated, confused, coming and then taking to devotional service once they're in the shop.
They can do service, but they can't get anything right until they give this up. They can't get anything, the concept right. So if the concept is right, isn't right, then the mood isn't right. And if the mood isn't right, then how is it devotional service? Because it's not the activity that makes it devotional service, it's the consciousness.
of his mind when he thought that Prabhupada was God.
He thought Prabhupada was?
Was God. For a week or 2 weeks,
the philosophy. That,
one time, someone came to the old Los Angeles temple in 1972 or something like that. The first time he had ever been to a temple. And the Los Angeles temple was very big and very opulent. So he saw a devotee carrying a plate, you know, silver plates with so many preparations on it, so many little plates on it, you know, silver utensils, flowers and everything on it, so many 7, 12 different preparations of food. And he said, the pujari was carrying it, he said, "Who is that for?" And he said, "Oh, that's for the deities." And the person said, "How long do you have to be here before you become a deity?" Parihas. But true, it's actually a true story. So imagine, imagine that person doing devotional service, all the cleaning the temple really hard, you know. But what's in his mind? So that's not devotional service. So he gets smashed and smashed and smashed by the devotees until he gives up the idea if he's fortunate.
Yeah. I was just going to comment on how after going Nityananda left, the same thing, it sounds very similar to what happened to
But not. Yes, no. That was a different peculiarity. This was by birth. That it never went by birth. But often when, you know, when an exalted personality, by his potency, he's keeping things together. And then when he departs, goes uppercut, departs from this world, then the things that were going on by his mercy, they don't go on in quite the same way. And misunderstandings take place. You were so quietly sitting in the corner, hidden by the desk, I couldn't even see you.
I would like to ask about this Varnashrama system. And independent, because it seems to me that in ISKCON was some group, some trying on introducing Varnashrama.
Yeah.
What is actually Prabhupada's and...
Prabhupada also said that Vanashram was for ISKCON and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted it. But it's a cultural thing that will help people engage many, many, many people on a level that they can gradually become elevated. What chapter are you on in the Bhagavad Gita? Second. When you get to the third, you'll understand the purpose of this Vanashrama system or Sakam Karma Yoga. But devotional service itself isn't dependent upon it. But it can be useful for someone on a lower level to help them take up devotional service. It's culture for the general mass of people. But devotional service is not dependent on it. But it is something, if we want to, if it's Krishna consciousness will be a mass movement, there will have to be some institution of Vanashrama for the masses of people. Because people can't surrender completely. They want to do what they want to do. So we have to teach them how to do what they want to do for Krishna in a gradual way. And that's basically Vanashrama. Taking your nature, Vana and Ashram nature, for in householder life, your relationship to renunciation and householder life, that's the ashrama side, and relationship to occupational duty, and learning how to do those things, yatta pravitavitanam yena savamidam tatam, that every man could become perfect by doing his duty for Krishna.
But until one is completely purified from all material desire, he should follow Varnashrama. Even if he is devotee or not.
That to know what one's position is, whether it's time for him to give up his nature, depends on the order of Guru. If the Guru tells us to do something that we think is against our nature, we should surrender and understand that it's time to give up vanashrama considerations. The disciple's business is to simply surrender. And generally, the Guru, as much as possible, will engage the disciple according to his nature. The disciple's business is not that, though. The disciple's business is to surrender fully. But if the spiritual master gives us a duty, or Krishna somehow or another, we're in a position where we have to act against our nature, we should surrender. And if we fully take shelter of Krishna and Krishna's holy names, then we will get the potency to go above our capacity in one sense. But if we try but don't surrender to Krishna's holy names and to with full faith in Guru, then we will fall down. For most people aren't advanced enough to go against their nature. So therefore the Guru will tend to engage the disciple according to his nature. He won't give us a test that we cannot pass. But sometimes Prabhupada gave us such heavy tests because there was such an urgency to spread Krishna consciousness during his presence that one's nature was not a consideration, and there were many casualties because of that. Not because of the engagement, but because they couldn't maintain the full dependence on the order of Guru and full dependence on the holy name and that prayerful mood, so therefore there was problems. Follow? Other questions? Narayan Kaur.
You mentioned that the ambition for becoming one with the Lord is condemned. But can you tell us something about personal ambition being the obtaining of Krishna consciousness?
Personal ambition ruins everything. It is poison. You can direct it to some degree in the material world, but when it's in the society of devotees, it's poison. It ruins everything. It turns milk to poison. It turns nectar to poison. We should get rid of it. We should be ambitious for the glory of Krishna and his devotees. So if we have this in our heart, which is basically an envious position, we should use it on the non-devotees, not on the devotees. And we all have it to some degree. Right? That's Jnana Karma Navrita, that I am the center and I want to move forward. So we have to be very, very, very careful and understand that the real motive for action is servant of Guru and Vaishnava. And it's especially difficult because after you're around a while, which there's one anarta called Vishaya Tarangani, which means trying to enjoy the waves of devotional service. Because when you're a devotee for a little while, then when you first join, you're the youngest devotee and everyone tells you what to do. But then after you're there for 3 weeks, then someone newer comes and he's more bewildered than you are. So you tell him what to do. And then after you're there for 5 years, there's so many people who are, quote, under you. So you have so many people to tell it. And then when you're there for 10 years, and then you get some position, then if you're not careful, you could really start falling to enjoying the facilities. And then you begin to, you know, some shastra, and people say, oh, you gave a great class, you're really advanced, oh, and people start worshipping you and thinking you're very, very great. And then you're really in a dangerous position. So if we allow this weed for pratishta, fame and glory, to grow in our heart, it will finish our devotional pipa. Krishna will so kindly smash us. We have seen. So we should remove it and become motivated by surrendering to Guru, Sadhu Guru and Vaishnavas. Doing what we're told, and it's the most difficult for a conditioned soul thing to do. To do what you're told, especially if you're born in America. Americans don't like it. Everyone, this is Kali Yuga, but Americans especially don't like it. I'm the only one. No, there we go. There's another one over there. Everyone except for Michael, well, mental soul. But all Westerners, all especially Indians, they're more used to it, and Asians more used to it. They don't have that individuality, striving for to be number one like that. They don't have that as much because it's hopeless in India. Practically, there's so many people. Everyone gives up very early. And it's not exactly in the nature, but it is on the other hand. So it's a very, very, very big weed, and we should not think of dovetailing it. We should think of getting rid of it in the society of devotees. If we're ambitious, unleash it on the non-devotees, personal ambition. And if we want to do something wonderful, let's do it for Krishna and give him the credit. But it's a horrible weed. Other questions?
Yeah. And this, to disregard in the third chapter, the desire to become great, like the desire for fame, was compared, said that it can be extended unlimitedly.
Yeah.
To the desire to become one with God. So is my question, is the desire for fame, for greatness, is it moksha desire or is it karma desire?
It depends on what level you extended it to. But we should extend it to the highest level when we're thinking about it. Okay, I want to become great. Okay, I want people to know how great I am. Okay, so why not become the greatest? That's what you want, oh desire? Oh my dear mind and my dear desire, you want to become great and everyone to know how great you are? Then why don't you just become God? Then everyone will really know how great you are. Good, become God. That's what it really ends in. Envy of Krishna. That's why this pratishta is very bad. It's envy of Krishna. And especially if we see someone else who's doing well and we wish to push them down. See, that's the real fault of this personal ambition, because it will always end in aparad too, that we see people who are doing well as our competitors. They're doing nice service for Krishna, and we see, oh, he's doing better than me. And then we feel that horrible feeling in our heart of envy. You know, the heart, you know, feeling it hard and horrible and naughty. And then we start criticizing like that, and then we end up in so much trouble. Should avoid. Yeah. I'm sorry, you're after.
This.
First, okay, sorry. Go ahead, decide.
See, this test you have taken, are they like a devotee is not purified? Is it tested by Maya or Krishna?
Say that again?
The devotee is not purified. Is it tested by Maya or Krishna?
Krishna.
What's the problem with this thing?
Krishna. But when did I talk about test?
No, one becomes certain position after 10 years.
Krishna wants to see what we want. But his test is meant for our going on to passing on to the next level, higher level. So we should pass it.
So once we have initiated Maya, does that have any
that's the devotee's vision. He sees everything as Krishna's mercy. Maya, after all, is Krishna's maidservant. Krishna Abhimukhe, Krishna Abhimukhe Cha Balajamana, and quote bloops and quote falls into Maya. But I recently read this, I can't remember where it is said that still the dealings of Maya with the devotee who is blooped, quote in Maya, is completely different from the non-devotee. In the same way that when a rich man's son goes out on the street, the king's son is out on the street thinking he's a beggar. And there's a real beggar out on the street. The king's son is still the king's son, even though he's acting like a beggar due to his craziness. So we should see in ourselves Maya. But what we should see in others, not Maya. In ourselves, we should see how my heart is so full. We should be very strict in judging ourselves and liberal in judging others. But usually we're just the opposite. We're always ready to see our own sincerity and to see the faults of others. This is bad. So objectively looking at it, we're not looking at ourselves. We should see that the test is given by Krishna to see what we want, and He'll give us whatever we want. If we want Maya, if we want material wealth, Krishna will give us material wealth. But to give Himself, that takes very exalted devotional consciousness. It's pure, pure, pure prema love. Srinivas.
In this chapter, devotional service surpasses all liberation. Prahlad Maharaja cited the example of Hanuman and Ramachandra. How to understand this? Prahlad Maharaja belonged to a much poor time.
But this goes on many, many, many times. Prahlad Maharaj, these shastras are eternal. Even Krishna's name is mentioned in the Vedas, although he only came 5,000 years ago. It is cyclical. These Leela avatars come occasionally. That is the answer.
You said that pratishtha is a pratishtha or personal ambition is because of one has envy of Krishna.
But ultimately.
But it can also be a character to a person who is in the mode of passion.
You think that a person in the mode of passion is not envious of Krishna? This is the root cause of our being here in the material world. We don't want to accept the fact that we are insignificant servants of Krishna. We want to be the center.
But sometimes in a society, in a teaching room, you fire the advantage initiative.
But that doesn't mean... So ambition is one thing for Krishna. Not we should become, why should I do anything? That's Mayavad philosophy. Arjuna... Krishna gave Arjuna so many reasons. You read up in the second chapter. He's told him you should fight and go to heaven. Did you read that? But is that what Krishna wants? To motivate Arjuna like that? To fight so he can go to heaven? No, but that's a reason. If you have material desires, to do your duty. But the real... But also at the end, Krishna says, Sarvadhamam Pratyaja, you do it as surrender to me. So the same fighting will be there, but because Krishna wants it. So when Arjuna was shooting his arrows, he was fighting like anything. We should be very ambitious to spread Krishna consciousness. But to put ourselves in the center and want the worship ourselves, if we have that, we will die spiritually. And it is in us. That is the horrible thing. So we should become very aware of it. And we have to go forward anyway and see these faults and pray to Krishna. Brahma prayed like this before creating the universe. In the second canto, he said, how can I do this big job and yet not get proud? And the more we know Krishna, the more that this can occur. See, the more successful we are, the bigger the Krishna pushes us by giving us so much things. And if we can remain a humble devotee, then we can understand that anything good has happened is by the mercy, the blessings of Guru Maharaj and the Vaishnavas. Vrindavan Dham. Very good. We should be very ambitious for Krishna. We should put him in the center, not ourselves. Prabhupada even said, we want Arjuna or we want no one. We don't want devotees who are so afraid of personal ambition that they won't do anything. Oh, Prabhu, I don't want to, you know, I'm afraid I'll fall in Maya if I go out, you know. I'm so fallen that I can't do anything, otherwise my... It's like one Gurukula boy, when I was a Gurukula teacher, was teasing. I said, why don't you drink your milk? Because he wasn't drinking his milk every night. So he said, well, milk makes you intelligent. It develops the finer substance of your brain. And I don't want to get proud. If I get too intelligent, I'm going to get proud. So I said, no. Intelligent people aren't proud. Be ambitious for Krishna. How ambitious was Prabhupada? So ambitious. But not for himself, but for his Guru Maharaj and Krishna. So be a servant. Follow the order. You like it, you don't like it, follow. That is Krishna consciousness.
Such Guru Maharaj wrote that once a disciple wrote to him asking if he could go to Bangladesh to learn how to play Radangamaya to Krishna, so he could improve his service. So is that an avenue for expressing our sort of ambition?
But if you want to do it so that the girls will look at you while you're playing the madanga, and although you may be saying to affect our service, then how much trouble that will get us into? Again, the motive. And because our motives are mixed, we're always in a precarious, dangerous position, so we should be careful and become very humble. Otherwise, Krishna will very kindly have to smash us. And when we get sick of being smashed down, 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 we'll stay down, thinking we're little and insignificant. Krishna is the ability in man, so if we give Krishna the credit, really, not just with the mouth. Very hard to pull this weed out. So it takes... We should not cultivate it, at least. Last question.
Is it wrong to have personal ambition to make advancement in spiritual life?
That's not that kind of personal ambition. That's very good. No, don't misunderstand this. We should be very ambitious to become advanced in Krishna consciousness, but we should not want the glory coming to us. Labha, puja, pratishtadi, pratishta, to be worshipped, to get greedy, get things. It will hurt us. These are weeds. Madhya, teachings to Rupa Goswami, right after Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev. Madhya 18, 19, something like that. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev, right after that. You should read, that's very nice. This is very, very subtle, because if we get too self-conscious about how fallen we are like that, and don't take shelter of Krishna and go and fight, depending on him, then we will be misdirected by Maya. We should see our faults and be very humble. And then do our duty strongly and depend on Krishna. Great love.
What does it mean not to cultivate this wheat? Does it mean mentally reject all these ideas?
Yeah.
The actual.
Yes.
Coming to mind. Just reject them.
Don't and decry them. Pull it up. I don't want this. I want to become a servant. I want to cultivate the mood of service, not the mood of mastership. And that's the positive side. Be a servant of Guru. Therefore, without surrendering to Guru, this is all that will happen. Only weeds will grow if there's no surrender. Because you'll be doing the things, but without surrender, without being anyone's servant. And if you're nobody's servant, what are you thinking? Then why are you doing it? Material reasons. One has to become the servant of the Vaishnavas. There is no other way. Otherwise, we can't be motivated properly. impossible to be motivated properly. Hare Krishna.